of the teaching, believe a lie or speak the truth. And it's pretty obvious, I'd say, to many in the body now that lies, and this is just in the natural, you know, in the world at large, a lie is so much easier to believe than the truth. That it's tragic that that's true, but that it seems to be the way it is. If someone makes lies about someone else, people believe it immediately, even if it's gossip and it's untrue. If someone distorts the scriptures in such a way that, you know, is clever enough to accept and swallow, people will believe that rather than what it says in the Word of God. People will believe someone teaching them, whether it's a pastor or some other kind of minister or an evangelist or a prophet, they'll believe that, even if it's not accurate, rather than going to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth himself. So this really is about unmasking those lies. And he gave me a very interesting scripture, a whole chapter actually, in 1 Kings 22. Now, unless he tells me to read the whole thing, I won't. But he often has to do those things, but I will give you a synopsis. But if you can turn to that, 1 Kings 22, and we'll discuss what happened in that scenario. Now, there was the king of Judah, and there was the king of Israel. King of Israel was Ahab, and remember his background was with his lovely wife, Jezebel, you know, who gets eaten by the dogs, who comes against Elijah, and who promotes a false religion with the prophets of Baal. Okay, that's where the prophets of Baal, there were 400 plus, I think, that Elijah had them do. It was almost like a competition of your God or my God is going to actually be shown as real. And the prophets of Baal had to, you know, call fire from heaven through their God, asking their God, Baal, who's a false God, so of course he never showed up. And Elijah ends up mocking him and saying, maybe he's gone to relieve himself. Maybe he's busy, because they were cutting themselves and hitting themselves. They were doing all kinds of self-flagellation to try to get this God that doesn't exist to show up. And what happened is, obviously, when Elijah called forth, he put water all over the altar, water all over the rocks, water everywhere, and said, he will still consume this. And God, of course, did. And all the prophets died. After that, he was Jezebel said she would kill him, and he runs for his life. Now, later on, Jezebel dies herself. But Ahab still is a ruling king, even after she's dead. So that's the history of Ahab. So he's not a good king. He listens to false counsel. He covets things that aren't his own, and he's very much into the flesh. Jehoshaphat was a king that wanted to honor God, and in most ways he did, though he did, there were a few things that he didn't do that God requested. But for the most part, his heart was in the right place. So they come together, okay, these two kings, because they want to go against another kingdom, another area. And Ahab, because he's very deceptive, he's learned to be deceptive. He's learned his life. He can lie his way through life. Hey, this is what happens to Christians that will sear their own consciences by deceiving. First, they may be deceived themselves. Then, when they recognize there's a gain from it, they'll continue on. And after a while, your heart becomes hardened towards God. You won't listen to him, and you will find yourself believing a lie rather than the truth. Now, what happens between those two kings is that they inquire of the prophets. Now, Ahab has 400 prophets, which is pretty rare. I mean, prophets are not like a dime a dozen. You know, you just pick them off the prophet tree. Prophets are called by God specifically because of their courage, because of their willingness to yield, because of their love of the truth, and their love of God. And that, unfortunately, is rare. It's not, you just have 400 in a room. But they call the prophet, they have calls his prophet, and says, are we going to defeat this other king? And all the prophets, what do? Do they warn him? Do they tell him there might be a problem? No, they tell him exactly what he wants to hear. Yes, God will deliver this king into your hands. All 400 of them. There's one prophet that hasn't sold out. His name is Micaiah, I think is how you say it, Micaiah. And Jehoshaphat wants him called as well. Because somewhere it must have tweaked that, is that possible, 400 prophets and it's all going to be good? I'm not so sure. So they call Micaiah. Micaiah starts out, and we're going to go to that on 13, 1 Kings 22:13. I'm just going to read it. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of them, and speak encouragement. He's basically telling him what to say. But come on, say the same thing because the king's going to be happy. The king's messenger tells Micaiah, the prophet of God. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. So basically, he's going to get, God first. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. This is what Micaiah says. He's telling the same thing that the 400 said. So the king said to him, this is interesting, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So the king didn't believe it. He knew something was not right. Then he said, this is Micaiah speaking, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you this guy never says anything right? Actually, this is what he says in the New King James. Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? Because the Ahab had already spoken to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and said, he will never speak anything good about me. I hate him. He said, I hate him. Because those that love lies hate the truth, and they will hate those that deliver the truth. Not just hate the truth. They'll hate the person that delivers it. And hate often leads to murder. We've seen it in the world. If it's not an actual physical murder, it is a character assassination. Lovers of lies hate those that love the truth. And that's part of what we're promised as Christians. We will receive that persecution. And let's go on now. Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. Now he's going to tell what he's really said. Almost like a test, if people prefer lies, what does God say? He will give them into their own delusion. When people continually will eat filth, eat lies, eat the pig's filth, after a while, it's like, God's not going to keep giving you good food. You refuse good food, you can have the pig's filth. Enjoy yourself, basically. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go so that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now, isn't that interesting? A spirit. Now, we're not talking Holy Spirit. A spirit of the Lord. I mean, not a spirit of the Lord. I'm sorry. A spirit came up and said, I'll persuade him. What kind of spirit was it going to be? It can't be from the Lord. Someone from the Lord cannot lie. Here he says in 22, the Lord said to him, in what way? In what way are you going to persuade him? He said, oh, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. I can do that. It's easy. They listen to me. I'm adding some. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look. This is Micaiah still speaking. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster upon you. Now, the son of Chinnea, Zedekiah, went near, and he was another prophet, he was one of the prophets, struck Hezekiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? So he's saying, oh, so that lying spirit that you said on me, well, he's now on you. But he's still admitting he had it. And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah. That's Ahab is the king of Israel. Jezebel's husband. Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. So what was his reward for speaking the truth? To be put in prison, to be given the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. So when we are going to stand for truth in Christ, and this is not just for unbelievers, in front of unbelievers, we're talking in front of the unbelieving church, the harlot church, the whore, the tares planted amongst the wheat, the apostate church. Those are the ones, see, these are people that were claiming they were God's people. It isn't unbelievers we're going to have the greatest difficulty and resistance from. It's the apostate church. It's the imposter that will say, I'm a brother, you have to forgive me. I'm a brother, you have to be nice to me. But what does Jesus say about brothers? He said, who is my brother? This is my brother, mother, and sister, those who do the will of my Father in heaven. That's how you know whether they're brothers or not. Claiming someone is a brother by saying, well, I confess Christ one day, but I live like a heathen, that's not your brother. I go to church every Sunday, and I tithe, but I slander people, that's not your brother. The ones who do the will of the Father in heaven. And we know his first two commandments tell us what that will is, to love him first, the Lord your God, with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is a fruit of the love of the loving the Father. And how do you love the Father? Because he loved you first, and his love is planted in your heart by Holy Spirit. It always, as we always say, goes back to love. So if someone is not acting in that way, and this is not that false love, that fake love, that pretense love, of be nice, don't say anything mean, that's not love. What did God say? God actually sent this spirit, or allowed a spirit to be sent, a lying spirit, because he knew that Ahab, the king of Israel, was a liar and wanted his own way at all costs and didn't care. Now, the interesting part, the rest of the story is really quite tragic, but it makes you understand how dangerous it is to believe in lies. See, if we believe in lies, we won't speak the truth. Because what's in your heart? What does it say? If we believe a lie, we'll speak it out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And believing is of the heart. That's how we came to Christ in the first place. This is a time of one side or the other. There's no middle ground in God. There's no compromise. It's truth or lies. And if you speak truth, you will be promised to be unpopular, to be persecuted, and to be isolated. If you speak lies, you will be given popularity, adulation, and promotion. That's how it works. So when we're being, horribly, whether it's slandered or gossiped about or persecuted physically in so many countries, I mean, we have it so easy in terms of persecution compared to the rest of Christendom. In the Western world, we don't even have an idea of what persecution is. But it's coming. It's coming, and I believe it's going to be fast and furious. It's going to come pretty quickly. And Christians in Western countries are going to be quite shocked because they've been used to just mulling along, being lukewarm. Oh, that's okay. Live and let live. They don't call sin sin. They mix truth with lies. It's going to be an incredible shock when persecution comes. Because that's when you have to stand and fight the good fight of faith. And it's not just a personal fight. It's regional. It's national. So we have it in our personal lives, of course. So we have to decide which side of the line we're on. You know, believe a lie or speak the truth. If we don't believe the lie, we have to speak the truth. We have an obligation to speak the truth. And you will find you can't help yourself but speak the truth. In fact, it will boil up in you to the point where it just pours out of you, whether you like it or not. It gets to that point when you are that sold out to Him, when you are that yielded to the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth Himself, you righteous anger wells up in you and pours out, just like Jesus in the Den of Thieves, because the Den of Thieves is here in the church. Just like it was there outside the temple. The apostate church is inside the church. Like those little Russian dolls. You know, you have one, you have a big Russian doll, and you take one out, and there's another one, a little smaller, and another one, and another one. It's hidden in there. Actually, it's not so hidden, it's pretty blatant, if anyone wants to look and see the hypocrisy and the deceit and the mixing of spirits and everything else that goes on. It's like the temples in Ephesus now, in the mainstream churches. You know, not necessarily in the traditional ones, but the ones, you know, the charismatic mainstream churches, and the other ones have their own deception as well and lies. So it really is a calling out. It's a continuing of the calling out. The calling out doesn't stop. You know, we did one teaching last week, and now there's no more calling out. It is